Hello, Mambo Vipi. What's up? Welcome to a fresh new podcast by My African Moves, your host here, Mercy and Ken. Today, our guest is a special lady, Leandra Limo. Leandra Limo believes in protecting Tanzania's environment and natural resources is essential for safeguarding the country's future, both socially and economically. Leandra is the founder of Refix It. She's also an architect. Please go ahead and enjoy as we speak to her and go through details of her story and her journey, how she stopped being an architect and then decided to do Refix It. What is Refix It? How does it work? And what does it do? It's an amazing story. Please enjoy.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hi, Leandra.
Hi,
welcome, Leandra, to our My African Move podcast.
Thank you so much.
To learn about your designs and your creative side and any other hidden talent you have.
Oh. Wow. Yes.
So, Ken, please dig out the talent from Leandra.
Oh, wow. Yeah. We'll get into all that. But first, you know, let's talk about Refix It. Can you kind of briefly
So Refix It, what we do, it's a small business, or it's a social enterprise that deals in utilizing of SISO, Tanzanian, especially Tanzanian SISO fibers to create eco-friendly decor products or products for the building space. That was the interior plan, like making products for the interior spaces. But then as we keep on, looks like, okay, some clients are also looking in other like products. So we are still looking into that. We haven't tried to venture into that, trying to just make some samples and see how that would be. But then so far, the main purpose was actually just creating products for the interior space and using a raw material, which is actually from Tanzania and handmade from Tanzania.
Okay. So how long have you been in business?
I started Refix It in 2018, May.
Okay. And I read about you that you were architect prior to starting your... Can you kind of talk about that a little bit?
So I did study Bachelor of Architecture from RV University in Dar es Salaam. Did my 5 years of architecture. Did my 5 years there. And then after that, I started working actually... when I was still studying, I was just doing I was doing internship at a certain office here in Dar es Salaam, and I started getting some projects. So that led me to work outside of Dar es Salaam for 1 year. So I was in the villages actually, and I was doing community projects, which some of them were a school. I remember there were houses and teachers' housing, residential housing, and as well as a health center. And I came back. I came back after that. I came back to Dar es Salaam. So the office that I was working before, where I was interning before, I met the boss, and he was like, "Yeah, Leandra, I think it's time now. You need to come back, because when I was just before leaving, he asked me like if I'm interested to work, and I was like, I need to leave the city. So this time we met, and it was just like, I think now it has to happen. So I worked there for like about 2 years, and. Okay. I got Refix It idea when I was actually at office. And then it was just this moment of how can I communicate this to my boss and then to my family and all this. Right. And I managed to do that. And I had to leave and just focus on Refix It.
Okay. Did they think you were crazy for leaving your...
it was crazy because the office I was working, it's one of the very... very credible architectural firms in Tanzania. I would say that it's a place that has taught me quite a lot of things, and in design wise, in management, and all these things. So I'm still very proud that I worked at that place, because I got really a good package of skills from that office. Okay. And it's not easy to get work there as well. So even when I was leaving, people were like, "Are you leaving this office? Are you sure?" And but then things have happened.
That's great. Yeah, I thought that was very interesting. So do you still use a lot of your skill set from being an architect in your current enterprise?
I still use my design skills and management as well. So because when you're like actually hired, you need to open your mind, your ears and eyes, and to see how your boss operates and take the good part of it. And I surely did take the good part of it, and I knew how they manage the projects and all that, and I'm still applying that right now on Refix It, and as well the design as well. So at Refix It, so even making of the products requires us to design some products. The very very first products, some of them were came from being inspired by a certain thing, but then as we grew, I had to sit down and draw and then send it a framework maybe to a welder or something before it comes back to us for us to weave. And okay. So we have been doing that. So we have like quite a number of original Refix It original designs that we have done by ourselves that I design. Or sometimes I would have an idea and I'll just draw it and sometimes I'll do it by myself. Okay. And some other time I'll give it to somebody else from my team to do it. I'll give the idea and be like, okay, this has to look like this. You can do it this way, and then somebody else execute it. Some have executed by myself and some not by myself. Yeah.
Okay. So speaking of some of your products, can you give us the idea of some things you make?
Yeah, some things that we make. So we make lampshades, we make rugs, we make plant hangers, we make okay. table runners, we make what are these wall hangings as well.
Okay.
And yeah, we just make quite a lot of items. We also thinking. Okay. Yeah, quite a lot of things as well as partitions. We have tried to make furniture as well. And oh, wow. upcycled, yeah.
Right. So is everything handmade, or is it machinery? Everything handmade.
Everything is actually handmade. Actually, apart, I mean, like macrame skill requires you to hand make stuff. Okay. I've seen even people doing macrame out of Tanzania, whereby they're still using their hands to do that. Oh, wow. So, or maybe we should invent a machine. I don't know, but from Tanzania, made from Tanzania, yes.
There you go. So typically, yeah. how long does it take to make a lampshade?
Yeah, so it depends. The lampshades, which can take about 1.5 days, three okay. days. Yeah, okay. it depends. Okay. But from 1.5 days, you would have it completed. Okay. And we have products which take some hours. Some take 3 hours, 4, 5, 6. And some products take 7 days, 8 days. Wow. Yeah, per product. Wow. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So on average, how many products would you say you're making a month?
How many? It actually depends with the type of a product. Because if you're making a product that takes you 3 hours in a month, you can make quite a lot of those.
Okay.
Compared to if you're making a product that takes 7 days, it means like just like 4 products per month.
Okay.
So yeah. So what we always do is we always try to mix the two. Some other person who might be making a product that takes a longer time, and another person will be making a product that takes less time. So it means that in a week, somebody else can make about 20 items, while another person has just made only 2 items or something like that. And we just try to balance.
That makes sense. How many employees do you have on your staff?
Actually, I never call them employees. It's a statement I don't use. I don't use that statement. I call them my team.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So because I feel these are the people I started Refix It with, most of them. So we started with okay. 4 of us okay. when we started Refix It. And so I'm the founder, but I just don't call them like employees, no. And right. yeah. So we started 4 of us, and as we went down the road, some other people joined who are on and off, but okay. then I would call it like right now we have like 5 full-time and okay. the people who come on and off 1 or 2, but we also work with local creatives. Like we work with local welders. For okay. instance, if we are making a lampshade, I make the design. So we always buy, for instance, we buy metal. I make sure we have all the materials and then I do the design. So that design, I send it, the framework design, I send it to a welder. I'm like, you need to make this distance, da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. The wires are actually staying with him, so he makes the number that we want. They are sent to us, and we start doing the weave. So we actually work with a local welder, we work with a local carpenter and local florist. So we have like people who we are working with. So if we need anything, they know how we work. We have tried to work with them for quite a number or like for a long time a bit, so they know how we work and how we want our things to be done. So when we tell them like we want this, they get to deliver according to what we want. Okay. And yeah.
Great. So where were you selling your products mainly?
Previously, before February of this year, we have been selling our products. Most of the times we got our clients online, especially on Instagram. We have a website, mm-hmm. but we have so much traffic coming from, we have so much traffic coming from Instagram. So we have people who know us through the Instagram, but we also work with our distributors. For instance, in Dar es Salaam, we work with Make It Matter, which is one of the top art shop or something I would call. They actually get art or creative. They're working with creative businesses around Tanzania, and you find a lot of art and crafts sold at their place. So we're working with them as well. And after opening the shop at the Sleepway, we have a number of people, actually new people who now know us from the shop. So it's social media now with the shop together.
Okay. Do you do any exporting or have any plans to export your products?
Actually, the very first product that we did was not sold in Tanzania. It was sold in Switzerland. we had to, the very first product that we did, because with the types of products we are making, I think a lot of people, it was hard for a lot of people to adapt, to understand what is this Sisal we use to close, I don't know, boxes and all packaging products. Sisal is used as a packaging material. And you are telling us you're making some decor products. What is this and all that? So the very first client, we got them from out of Tanzania. And then little by little, we're getting clients from Tanzania. So yes, we have exported. But then I was still working on establishing a connection or a partnership with a company that we can use the company to like export our products. We have done that through this COVID pandemic. Right, for us, right. Yeah.
We'll get to that a little bit later. We'll get to that. Yeah. So just curious. So exporting. So how's that experience been? Has that been a pretty smooth experience thus far, or what have been some of the challenges with your exporting part?
The challenge with exporting is always the cost, because sometimes you would find there are certain companies, if you were to export a product to a certain country, the exportation costs, it will be much more than the product costs. So how do you tell somebody like, hey, you're buying this for this amount, but then you have to pay this for the transport? Yes.
Right.
It becomes crazy. But then, we haven't exported so much. So most of the people always also, sometimes they choose to travel with the product or send a person who's actually in Tanzania going to their country and they go with the products. Yeah.
Okay. So what has been your best seller?
Sorry, best seller?
Yeah.
People love the wall hangings. We sell a lot of wall hangings, and also the plant hangers, quite a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And then follows then the lamps and the lampshades. Yeah.
Okay.
The wall hanging.
So I'm always curious as we bring people on the show, like, you have a lot of money to start this business. Like,
yes. Yeah.
I mean, as far as funding, did you have outside help to help fund your company?
Yeah.
Let's talk about that a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So from when I was starting, I started it alone, and I would get a project here and there, and I'll just put the money in the business, and I'll just be, so everything, I did it by myself from when we started, and until last year, December, it's when we got our first grant. We are actually beneficiaries of the Tony Elumelu Foundation. We won that last year, and it was a grant of $5,000.
Wow.
So, great. Yeah. So it's actually our first, and that's the one we've got. So now, applying for more, because you need to expand in all this. But then from the beginning, I was the one who was funding each and everything.
Okay, that's great. Yeah. So do you have any other investors, or is it self-funded besides your grants you've raised?
No, not any other investors for sure.
Okay. So going back to the COVID-19, how has that affected your business currently?
It has actually affected us positively and negatively. So apparently when this year started, we opened our shop in February 1st of this year, and business was, we got new customers. It was all exciting. And you see like the sales are getting, they're rising up, and then boom, it's COVID. And then we had to close on 1st of April. Mm. So there, I remember the very first weeks, it was quite very hectic, because you have to think, okay, how is it going to be? How are you going to move forward? And how long will the pandemic stay? Will everything be this? Because where we're at the shop is, it was like almost a desert for sure. I would visit there every time, and you're like, oh my goodness, when is business going to be back? Mm-hmm. And you just don't know. But then a good thing that came with that is, because people were working from home, people got to see their spaces in another different, I think, perspective. And you get to realize, I think this wall is empty. I think I need something here. I need a light and all this. So right. people started reaching to us via Instagram, and we started getting orders from people via Instagram. It was quite very nice. And other people were like buying things like gifts for their friends, okay. just telling them like, oh, we are thinking of you through this. And yeah, that's how we got some clients.
A lot of impulse buying, I take it.
Yes, yeah. yeah.
That's great. So what are your future growth look like? Do you plan on expanding your future growth of your company?
Yes, I plan on expanding. There's quite, I mean, we haven't even reached like a quarter of what I've envisioned. We are planning to expand. There's a number of products that we need. I need to expand the team. There's actually a number of products that I would see them, I would want to see them happening, in, especially in the building industry, okay. because I have like some ideas which, being an architect, I have some ideas which I want to include in the building industry. Okay. So I need to test them and all these things, but also I need, okay, a team to expand. We're also thinking, I don't know, in the near future, so we've been, one of our team members is actually a mechanical engineer. So I've been trying to push her to like create a machine, sort of like a simple machine to do some of the work. So let's see how that goes on.
Okay.
Yeah, if not her, then somebody else. So yeah.
That's great. So is all your products made from Sasol?
Yes, they're made from, all of them are made from Sasol, or they have the Sasol touch.
Okay, for those, because I didn't really know what Sasol was, so I had to kind of research it myself.
Oh.
Explain to our viewers what Sasol is.
So a Sasol is an agave sisalana plant. That's actually the scientific name. It kind of looks like a pineapple, like the leaves look like kind of a pineapple. So the Tanzanian sisal actually originated from Mexico. Mexico apparently is the lead of sisal in sisal production all over the world. Tanzania ranks number two. However, we were number one during the 1960s. So basically when sisal was introduced here, most of the time, it was used for producing of the cordages and actually the ropes, which were used for shipping. Yeah, for shipping materials, and that is actually more of it. But then there is so much that can be used in sisal. Like it's also used in the automobiles and in energy production and a lot of other things. It's just like it requires a person to get and dig in and just
research
and see what they can do with sisal. But it's a very resistant plant. It cannot be eaten by insects, for instance. And then it is actually cannot be affected by salts. So it's actually, being in Dar es Salaam is actually a very nice product to be used in Dar es Salaam, because we have like salt around here, in the coastal areas. So there's actually a lot of advantages with it.
So being in, it's plentiful. Where do you normally source your sasal from? Do you have certain
We source it from the factory. So apparently Tanzania has a number of factories that deals with sasal production here it's mainly grown in Tanga region and Morogoro, and we have companies, there are companies based in Tanga as well as Morogoro, but then in Dar es Salaam there are distributors as well who distribute sisal in Dar es Salaam, and we buy our sisal from Dar es Salaam.
All right, so kind of switching gears, kind of getting off business a little bit, how do you relax? You seem like a very busy person. How do you relax?
How do I relax?
Yes.
Oh.
You're trying to change the world and make an impact. How do you relax?
Most of the times I like having a quiet time. The times like I just want to be alone. There's sometimes I just want to be alone so that I get to, I just want to get to think through and just free my mind. And the times that I like spending with friends. So I have those times I like just spending with friends, and we just have like, I always prepare like maybe some dinner or lunch at my place, and I just invite friends. So we come here and we just eat and drink. And sometimes I haven't traveled since when I started to fix it. I haven't traveled as much, but traveling is one of the things I love doing. I love doing so. now I'm just like, if I get a little bit of some days off, I'm just going to be like, take myself somewhere and just spend some time and then come back.
I always ask our guests, if you could give a younger person that's trying to get into business some word of advice, that doesn't have much money to start with, what would you tell them?
Who doesn't have much money to start with?
Right.
I would tell them, even if I take myself in that position, I did not have much money to start with, for sure. But then the vision, what I wanted to do, is what kept me motivated. I was set, and I was like, this is what I wanted to do. And I remember even after, just some months after, I even advised my friends, like, if you are to quit your job, make sure you have a plan. If you don't have a plan, you're going to fall into any plan. It will be very tough. You need to have an anchor for sure. Like, really, for me, it has been prayers. My goodness, that's been like, yeah, that's so much prayers. Oh, and then, sorry?
You're talking some real talk. Yeah, that's
yeah, true. Yeah. It has been so much of the prayers for sure. And I had to really get myself focused, because I was like, this is what I wanted to do and I have to do it. And then you already have people coming to join you. You cannot say, oh, guys, I have to go back to work. And then people trusted you, you know? How do you just stop? And yeah, no way, yeah.
Awesome. And,
you can do it. Everybody can do it. I believe so.
Okay, yeah, I agree too. So yeah. I think I already know the answer to this question, but I'm gonna pose it anyway. Do you have any regrets of leaving your job as an architect?
Do I have any regrets? Yeah. No, okay. I don't have any regrets. No, I don't have any regrets. I believe to where I am right now, I'm supposed to be here. To be honest, I'm really supposed to be here. And it has been a process. I see my work right now, the one I was working, it is what got me to where I am right now. And I'm very thankful for it, because it has taught me so much of what I am using right now. I don't regret. And even my boss passed by at my shop and he told me, I'm proud of you. So I am really not regretting.
All right. That is great. That is awesome. Before we let you go, how can people keep up with you? How can they purchase your products?
You can send me, you can either send us an email, you can view our website. Unfortunately, on our website, we're still integrating the payments. It's a bit, because I had the process, in Tanzania, you cannot accept PayPal. So I had to go through other methods to actually get the payment process done. And as well, the bank also was like, on and off. And I'm like, yeah.
Okay.
But then email would work. My phone number would also work. Our Instagram page would absolutely work. Yeah.
So what's the name of the Instagram page?
So our Instagram page is at Refixit, which is Refixit TZ.
Okay.
That's TZ. And yes.
Okay.
And you know my
information in the description. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You know my email address. Our email address. It's like hello at refixit.co.tz. So it's easy.
Okay. Yeah. Great. Thank you for that. And we'll put that information in the description of this video, because this video will go up on YouTube and we'll share with the world.
Okay,
Mark, sure. Do you have anything you want to
ask? Unless you have more questions that I don't know, you haven't asked yet. I don't have any. But what do you do? That I should ask you. I know what Mercy does. What do you do?
That's a loaded question. Currently, I work in healthcare. I'm a manager in healthcare. Also have several investments on the continent. Yeah. Mercy have several ventures going currently. So I have a lot. You know, that's a whole nother show.
Don't tell me all of that.
That's a lot. Talking of my last project was a healthcare project. So before leaving the office, that was the last project I did. And it's quite hectic, huh?
it's quite hectic, especially right now with the climate. I would consider myself a serial entrepreneur. My ultimate goal is to fully integrate into the continent and do that full time and take a leap like you did. So hearing your story really kind of resonated with me, because I'm transition out my corporate job. So it's very inspiring to hear you say that, and that really kind of touched me personally. So thank you. So
thank
I'm
you
sure
a lot.
People find a lot of value in what you shared today. I definitely do.
Thank you.
I have a question. A closing statement. So because today is Father's Day.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
How has your father, what's the role of your father in your journey?
Wow. How has your Actually, I don't have a father. my father passed away. Yeah. He passed away. Yeah. He passed away in 2012. So he never got to see my journey when I started to fix it. I was actually in my second year of university. So, So maybe if he was alive, I think he would be very proud. But then they started, maybe I wouldn't be allowed to do what I was doing. I have this talk with my mom, you know, and she told me, if only your dad was alive, maybe you wouldn't be having to fix it. Because he was like corporate person, he'd be like, what are you doing? So what? And with what? I'll find you another job. If you're like tired with this one, we can get something else. With what? Yeah. No. Yeah. Awesome. I would have to sneak up for that.
Yeah, dad probably wouldn't go for that, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
To the fathers in heaven, happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day. I think he's proud now.
Thank you very much, Leandro, for your time.
Thank you. Thank you so much.